Today we're discussing the halachas of an apachapas. Apachapas is a much larger sugi than we've been discussing this week. There's a whole section, Hilchos Apachapas, you could find in Choshe Mishpat. Today we're discussing a little bit about what happens when a father dies and the Yisomim are being cholek in the Nichsei Avi, and what to do, how does it split up. So the Gemara has been talking about the different sources of Zechiah and Shlichas. The Gemara wants to know what to do with the Pasuk of Nasi Echad, Nasi Echad. And the Gemara concludes that Nasi Echad is teaching us that Minayin, the Yisomim, Shebo Lachlok, B'nichse Aviyem, how do we know that when Yisomim are coming to divide up the land of the property of the father, Shebeistin Ma'midin Lehem Apachapas, that Bezdin appoints an Apachapas Lachov L'Zuchos, so they create a chiv or a zechus for them. The Gemara says that Tamlor Nasiyacha Nasiyacha Mimata Tikhu, to teach us that the Apachapas has the ability to be zoche on behalf of the children. So the question the Rishonim all deal with, what's the mechanism that gives the Apachapas that right to be zoche on behalf of the children? So we have three shitas that are in the Rishonim. First shita is found in Rashi. Rashi and Gittin, the Gemara and Gittin quotes the same brisa. And Rashi says it goes to the mechanism of Hefker, based in Hefker, where Bezdin comes in and then they declare all the property ownerless and then they start dividing up the way they feel. And that's one position. It's Hefker, based in Hefker. The other position is the Ritva. The Ritva, which takes the Gemara and just takes it as a very easy flow here, he says that really Apachapas works because of Zechiah. It's really a Zachin L'Adam Shlo B'Fanav. And how do you read the Gemara here? Doesn't the Gemara say that Zach and Ladam Shobafanav only works when there's a pure Zachus? And the Gemara says it doesn't work when it comes to dividing up land. Some children prefer this land versus that land, so it's never a pure Zachus. So we said Zachin doesn't work for dividing up land. How come here then the Apachapas does work for dividing up land if Apachapas is that same mechanism of Zechiah? So the Ritva says that really Apachapas is a super Zechiah. It's a super Zechiah. That normally, when if I'm Zocha for some other person, so then I can only be Zocha something that's purely a Zechus for him. But anytime there's some gray area, there might be some level of Chov, I cannot be Zocha on behalf of someone else. So it comes along the Apachapas who's appointed to be this Apachapas, he has a greater power that he's able to be Zocha even in a case where it's gray, where it's partially Chayev, partially Zocha. Even in that situation, Apachapas could be Zocha. So according to the Ritva, it's really Midin Zechiah. So again, according to the Rashi, it's Hefker based in Hefker, but according to the Ritva, it goes to the Din of Zechiah. That's the main machlokas we're going to go through, a number of nafkaminas. I thought it was important to bring the third shita, which is the shita of the Ran. And the Ran says nothing's really going on here. The Ran says there is no Zechiah here, there is no Hefker based in Hefker here, it's simply the Apachapas is just being Megala Milsa. Everything's already been decided. When the father dies, so then the different children have the properties, and they own it, and all the Apachapas is doing is he's just trying to draw the lines where they're going to be Zocha from, but he's not giving it, he's not bringing it into the Rishus. That already happens automatically with the death of the father. So this is a big machlokas. Again, whenever you have two sugyas coming, whenever every sugya is pretty much two sugyas, really a clash between two different topics. The clash here is Apachapas and Yerusha. So you have to always evaluate how does Yerusha work and how does Apachapas work. Our focus is how does Apachapas work, but you also have to understand how Yerusha works. So just to explain simply how Yerusha works as a side point, then we'll focus on Apachapas, is that there's a machlokas in general, the Gemara has such a machlokas, how does Yerusha work? Is Yerusha viewed as kilukuchos dami or kiyorshin dami? What does that mean? So when a father dies, we view the children now as being buyers, the lukuchos, they simply bought the property, or do we view them as Yerushim, where there's a seamless transition from the father to the son? So the Ran's assuming that there is no, they're not lekuchos, they're not buyers of the property. They're just simply, when the father dies, there's a seamless transition that goes to the children. There's no acquisition that takes place. And all the Apachapas is doing is simply saying, okay, that was his and that was his and that was his. He's just being mevar what had happened. But he's not really creating an acquisition. As opposed to Rashi, who says Hefker based on Hefker. Hefker is something that creates a transaction. No, when the father dies, the estate exists out there. No one owns it. Hefker based on Hefker has to say, okay, now we're bringing this into this child and to this son's rishus. That's what Hefker based on Hefker is doing. Or if you assume apachapas is a zechiah, that you're being zocha for the child, it's an acquisition. So most Yishonim assume that Yorishim is viewed as lekuchos dami, it's an acquisition, and that's where Bes and apachapas play a role. But the Ran's Mechadesh, he paskins that no, Yerusha is not viewed as lekuchos, it's not an acquisition, it happens automatically with the death of the father. There's an automatic, seamless transition to each of the children.
Which sheet are we taking, and does it matter? Are we taking
there's a machlokas. We're pointing out that there's a machlokas here.
Right, but which are we picking?
What we're going with focus here is that it's assuming that it's lekuchos dami that's being acquired, and we're debating how does that acquisition take place. Does it take place through hefker based in hefker, or does it take place through zechiah?
Because the other way there's no discussion if it's just...
No, there is. There is a discussion, but just what most Yishonim deal with here is Hefker based in Hefker versus Zecha. So that's going to be our focus, but it does exist. There is a Machlokas in general, broader discussion, yeah.
Make a difference if the father made up a specific will before he
died? If he made up a specific will, so that might not be Midin Yerusha. It might be more of a Matana. You have to figure out how wills work exactly. But let's say a father writes a will, it might take effect the second before he dies... He gave it over as a matana, as opposed to Yerusha. Let's say a father doesn't write a will, so then dies, and you have to follow the halachas that the psukim describe, the son and the daughter and the brothers and everything. So if it's you're following the halacha of the psukim, that's a Yerusha. That happens, that's our discussion. When a will is involved, it might be viewed more as a matana, gifting, as opposed to Yerusha. A different discussion. Now, just to point out on the topic of Yerusha, so we're pointing out there is a machlokas whether Yerusha is lekuchos dami or whether or not it's going to be viewed as a more of a seamless transition. So there is a unique sheet out there. Let's say you assume Yerusha is viewed as lekuchos, that the children are now buyers of that property. It went from one possession, one owner to another owner. Father to son is viewed as a separate and new owner. When it comes to father-son, though, there might be many Yishonim hold that when it comes to father-son, then that would sure be a ke'ilu, it would be rather a seamless transition. But the Gemara said, the Yishonim say several places, when the son is Yorish's father, it's ke'ilu ha'av kaim. It's as if the father is still alive. So although in general, by other Yorishim, by a sibling or a parent, if a parent were to be Yorish the children or a sibling, that might be viewed as lekuchos, as going from one party to another party. But when it goes from a father to a son, almost all Rishonim would agree that would be viewed as a seamless transition. So the Baal Mor, the discussion of Yerusha is in the 8th parak of Baal Basra, Yeshnochlin. Yeshnochlin is referring to Nachla, giving Yerusha. So the Baal Mor there writes that when the father dies and the son is Yorish, it's Ki'ilu Ha'av Kaim, as if the father is still alive. And the Rashi says this in Horios as well, talking about different Averos. The Rashi in Horios Davav, Amin Alf talks about when the father dies, the son is Ki'ilu Ha'av Kaim.
Like
it's not a kinin, it's viewed as the father never died. There's a legacy that continues, and the son continues that legacy. It's as if the father never passed away. He's just walking in the footsteps of his father. It's not a transaction. Meaning, even if you assume by other Yorshin, that other Yorshin, it does change from one owner to another owner. When it goes father to son, because of that unique relationship, it's as if the father never died.
Is that another category, or is that closer to either one?
What?
So it's
not being viewed as a transaction. It's not being viewed as lekuchos. That's how it's being, yeah. Now, yeah.
There is a transfer of property.
Correct. Technically, you're right, that it is. It's someone who, the father's dead now, the son's reading, but halachically, according to many Rishonim, we view it as if the father is still alive.
So then what's the difference?
What's the nafkamina here? So nafkamina would be, in general, the Gemara talks about whether Yerusha is considered a Yerusha or Lekuchos, can you now change ownership? Let's say Yovel comes, and now you have to redo the division of the lands. When it comes to a person who buys, if I buy your property in Eretz Yisrael, and then Yovel comes, you get that property back. So that's one of the nafkaminas I talk about. If it's viewed as lekuchos, then Yovel could undo that division and then redo it in the next Yovel. But if it's viewed as Yerusha, this seamless transition, you can't undo it. It's as if the father never died. It's actually interesting. I'll show you an interesting Rashi just in since we were going off.
Let's say the father wants to sell it.
So then he could sell it, but that new buyer will be viewed as a lokeach of the father, even though the father is actually dead.
when it says in the Yovel that it resorts back to the family, there has to be such a concept of the inheritance outside of the sale, right? Because you're saying the sales go back, but the inheritances don't go back, right?
Correct. Again, this is a larger topic. The Gemara in Bechoros discuss this, and the Sugyas in Bechoros as well discuss this. Just wanted to just touch upon it a little bit. There's an interesting Rashi just really brings out very, very nicely here. If I could find it quickly. Ah, okay. So at the end of Parshat Vayelech, the Gemara says, rather, Pasuk says, Ki adati achrei Mosi, so Moshe Rabbeinu is talking. And he says, Ki adati, I know that achrei Mosi, after I die, Moshe says, Ki ashcheis tashchusun, there's going to be destruction, v'sartim min haderech, and you're going to go off the derech, asher tzivis etchem, that I'm commanding you, and karasi etchem hara b'achris hayamim. So he speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu is prophesizing, and he knows that Klaisa is going to go off the derech at some point later on. So the Rashi here comments, he says, Harei kol yimosi Yoshua lo hishchisu. Not only Moshe's time, but even the times of Yoshua, they didn't go bad. They were all following the derech Hashem. As the Pasuk says, Vayavod Yisrael, Vayavod Yisrael, es Hashem kol yimei Yoshua. So why does Moshe say only after my death? It's not true. After his death, they continue to follow derech. He should say after my death and my Talmud's death, that's when the Tashchisun happened. So it says Rashi, Mikan, from here we learn, Shetalmido shel adam chaviv alav kegufo. So when a Talmud is chaviv as if it's himself, that's what Moshe saying, it's as if I'm alive. Kolzman shi Yeshua chai, hayanira lemoshe kiilu hu chai. So long as Yeshua is alive, it was as if Moshe Rabbeinu himself was alive. So what's Rashi assuming? Rashi assumes two things. One is that a Talmud is like a ben. That we've known many, there are many sources. When you teach someone to, as if he's your son himself. And the, you have the concept of a son, when the father dies, it's ke'ilu, the Av is still alive. So Moshe says, not only my life, but even during Yeshua's life, I know you're going to follow derech, because so long as Yeshua's alive, ke'ilu am chai, as if I'm alive. So this is, again, this is not a halachic application, but you see this is a Rashi. Based on the Pasuk, there's this concept that when the son takes over the Yerusha of the father, it's as if the father is still alive. There's also a Gemara in Erev that talks about when a person makes an Erev. So if a person dies, so then the Yorish has to make a new Erev for that house. But if the son is Yorish that Erev, then there's no need for another Erev because the Gemara says, Kara Davuhi. Kara means leg, that the child is the leg of the father. It's as if the father is still alive and there's this seamless transition. So says the Ran, that's the idea here, that the apotropos is simply being megala milsa. He's not really transferring anything. There's no transfer when it comes to Yerusha. He's just being megala milsa. He's telling you where to draw the lines. But there is no really transfer of ownership. But according to the way we're going to assume for the rest of the shir, is that no, there really is a transfer of ownership. When a person dies, the estate exists over there, and then someone has to really bring the estate down and divide up to the children. Either that's working through Hefker, based at Hefker, where the Bezdin comes in and it declares it's ownerless, and then they say, you get that, or Apotropos works through the mechanism of Zechiah, that the Apotropos is representing each of the children, and it is a Zechus for all of them.
And then we say it's a schus for all of them, even there's a detriment, there's always a schus because there's some benefit.
There's some benefit. So there are a number of nafkaminas, whether it's working through Zechiah or whether it's working through Hefker based in Hefker. So we saw the discussion, how many apotropuses should there be when dividing up the land? So the Rashi in Gittin says that each child gets their own apotropus. And the Ritva says it's enough to have simply one apotropos supervising the whole situation. So what's that nafkamina? What does that depend on? How do you explain that machlokas, whether one is enough or each child gets their own apotropos?
So then each child needs someone to be zocha for them, and if it's just one, so if you're based on Hefker, one person can do it for...
Exactly. So who is the apotropos representing? If apotropos are representing Bezdin and Hefker based in Hefker, all you need is one apotropos to create the Hefker based in Hefker, and he divides. He's representing this entity of Bezdin. But if you assume that Apachapis is really working with Din Zechi, like Josh just said, so then it has to be each one gets their own representative, their own lawyer, to fight their case, what property I want versus what property you want. Now, even though it sounds very good and logical, the difficulty with that approach is it's not consistent with Shita's Rashi. Because Rashi in that same Gemara in Gittin, he says that's working through Hefker based in Hefker, yet he also says it's work going through each child gets their own apotropos. That's the stira. So I'm not sure how to work that. I thought the same thing as you, but Rashi is not consistent. So if you assume Hefker based in Hefker, I'm not sure why each child requires apotropos. It might simply be for practical reasons. Really, halachically speaking, one apotropos is enough to create Hefker based in Hefker. But in the end of the day, we still want to ensure that the children are being represented properly. So they each have their own apotropos, not to create Hefker based in Hefker, but they still need someone representing them as a lawyer to just fight their case. And therefore, they each get their own apotropos.
In this Hefker based in Hefker thing, is that in all cases that a based-in can do that? Or is it only in, like, doubtful or rabbinic cases? In the Deraisa case, they have no
right. Based-in could do it whenever they want. When it comes to Dina Mamas, they always have the right to do it. Now, will they? No. They'll probably only do it whenever there's a need. But are they able to? Yes.
With Dina Mamas. Yeah. That was one of the sources over there.
Exactly.
It says not in religious matters.
Correct. Not by Dina Issa. Okay, so let's look now at a Tosos in the Kedushin here, on Mem Beis Amud Aleph here, Dibur Maschil Uborin, the last Tosos in the bottom here. So Tosos writes here, there's a big machlokas here in, by Tosos, which really connects to our sugya how the apachapas works. So he writes Borin Lehem Chelak Yafe. So Milashan Borin, what is Borin? Borin means to make a decision, to separate. So Medaktik the Re was Medaktik the following. The Hainu, what does it mean, Borin? Below Gorel. You decide. You don't pick out of a hat who gets what portion. Borin means you decide that Reuven gets this and Shimon gets that. Dema Breira Shaykh Begorel. Gorel is the opposite. Breira is making a decision. Gorel is luck. So there is no Gorel. You don't pick out of a hat when the word Borin is being used. You choose who gets what. V'haya Mefarish and the Re, Balitosis, would further explain. She'ein Tzrichin Gorel Velo Shumas Bezdin. You don't require Goral, nor do you require the intervention of Bezdin. Bezdin doesn't have to assess the values of each of the properties here. V'chol achaluka tluya bedaito. It all depends on the das of the apotropos. Very key line here. Kimo shehayu osin yisomim atzmam im hayu gdolim. As if the yisomim themselves would be doing the chiluk. So what's going on here? V'shaya kol echad bor la'atzmo v'zocha Bishalo. So it's very clear, what's this first sheet of Tosfos assuming? What's the mechanism of apotropos according to this Tosfos here? What?
It's
Gila Milsa. I don't think Gila Milsa.
Well, it's Gila Milsa. What they would have chosen had they been on their own.
No, but but he's creating a transaction. He's being Zocha for them. He doesn't say Gila Milsa, he says Zocha. He says it's working as Zochin. It's working as Zochin, he's representing each of the children. They each get their own one, as if the child was there. Kilu, he was a gadol. The apotropos is representing the children. And there's no involvement of Bezdin. There's no Shumas Bezdin. Bezdin doesn't get involved here. It's as if the child, even though he's a katan, as if he was a gadol, that's how the apotropos is working here. It's working midin zechia and not midin Bezdin. That's very clear in Tosfos. But now jump down in Tosfos, later on, to the last three lines, in the middle of the line it says, Rabbeinu Tam Mefarish. Rabbeinu Tam argues and says, Dehainu Dafka Begorel. He argues, no, this case of Borin means you do use a Gorel, you do use a lottery here. V'chi Trichus Alhatya Goros, V'gam Tzarech Shumas Bezdin. You also require Bezdin's intervention, they have to evaluate what's going on here. Why? What's the din here? The din is because Rabbeinu Tam assumes what's the mechanism of apotropos?
The other thing, not disclosed.
Which is what? What's the other thing?
Transaction.
We're assuming it's all transaction. We're just trying to figure out how does this transaction take place. We said, is it midin zechia or is it midin hefker based in hefker? So Rabbeinu Tam, who requires shumas bezdin, who requires the intervention of bezdin to evaluate the property values, so he assumes it's working through hefker based in Hefker. But according to the first sheet, the sheet that's Ari in Tosis, he says, no, Basin's not involved here at all. It's really Apachabas works midin Zechia, and they're representing each of the children ki'ilu, as if the children are alive. Mamish Zechia going on here. So this discussion we're having here between
alive,
it's really
there.
As if they're there. So this is what's going on here in the 2 days in Tosfos, whether or not it's midin bezdin or whether it's midin zechia. Okay, there is another nafkamina. So right now we have a nafkamina of whether how many apotropos you need. Then about shumas bezdin, whether you require bezdin to give a property value. There are a few other nafkaminas. Now, if you look at, let's do now Tosfos, Dibra, Maschil, Yisomim.
And any time we say Skri, or Mamish, not bothered by the fact that sometimes it's their detriment. Those were all just, that's a moot point, all those discussions.
Exactly, that's a gray area. The Abba Shabbos has a greater Zechus, even though sometimes it could be for their detriment, since many times it's going to be for the Zechus, so it's going to be some level.
Some value.
So we trust Abba Shabbos that they're going to pick the right things for the Yisomim. Now look at Dibra Maschil Yisomim in Tosos. We're going to see Shitas Rabbeinu Tam is the Shitaso. Again, keep in mind that Rabbeinu Tam holds, again, we just saw Rabbeinu Tam, what's the mechanism of Apotropos, the Fishitas Rabbeinu Tam? What did he just tell us? He requires Shumas Bezdin. He requires Bezdin's involvement. So let's see this for a second. Actually, maybe this case actually might not be the Shitaso. Let's look at Tosas writes. Tosas writes, Dibra Maschil Yisomim Shebo. If the Yisomim come forward, literally, they come forward and they request a chalukah, they request a division, so then we grant them this chalukah. So Rabbeinu Tam's medaktek, dafka Shebo, only if the Yisomim came forward to request this. Aval im haya ha'echad moche. If one of the children, he protested this. Ein lahamid apotropos lachlok bal karchom. You cannot impose a chalukah against their will. They have to want it. So it sounds like from here, how do you understand this, Rabbeinu Tam? What's the mechanism being used here?
Based in Zechiah.
Sounds like Zechiah, right? Zechiah, exactly. Because if it's only Zechiah if I want you to be Zochah for me. But if I say I don't want you to be Zochah for me, so you can't, against my will, be Zochah on my behalf. So Rabbeinu Tam here says only if they choose to, if they want to have a zechiyah here in Bo. But if they say one of the partners, one of the children say, "I'm not interested in this," then you cannot force it upon them. Ah, very good. So we have to get involved. How do minors have such a say? How the minors could make it? They could be toveya. They could make a claim. Any taina of a katan has no weight to it. How could they make a taina? So that leads to Shitas HaRambam. Rambam says that even the Tosis doesn't tell us the ages of the Yisomim. We typically think of Yisomim as Ketanim. But look what the Rambam writes. Rambam writes, if you look at number 9.
Some are old and some are...
Right, exactly. Some are old, some are young. So the Rambam writes in number 9, Hilchos Nachalos, Perek Yud Halachadal, Mishe Niach Yisomim, Miktsasan Gedolam, U Miktsasan Ketanim, Ratu Lachlok, B'nichzeveim, Kidei Sheyidlu HaGedolim, Chelka. The only time you're allowed to divide the land is if some of them are gedolim, because the gedolim have a taina. The gedolim want their land, so they could be toin. But ein echanami, the Rambam seems to indicate, if it was purely ketanim,
you should wait.
You wait. The ketanim cannot be tovea. Any taina that a katan makes, like Stephen said, doesn't work. We don't acknowledge their claims. But only since gedolim are involved would you split up. Very good.
When do you have to wait for everybody?
You have to wait. Yeah, according to this, the Rabbeinu Tam holds that if one person says, "I'm not interested in this division," so then you wouldn't do it if one person's mocha. But it has to be at least some gadol. It has to be a gadol who makes the ketana. We ignore the ketanim if they make it. But once we're dividing because of the gadolim, then we have to be fair. The ketanim give them also. But if only the ketanim are being towing, only they the ones who want the land, then we don't acknowledge a taina of a katan. That's the halacha.
You can't do that. What about in the case where the land is going to be devalued or something and they got to sell it now? If we wait 10 years...
No, the different things. Apotropos... No, Apotropos is going to supervise the property, make sure it doesn't go down. That's one thing is to supervise it. But to divide it, to say who gets which part, that way they wouldn't do until Gedolim start saying, "I want my chelek now." But if it's only Ketanim, so then Apotropos would supervise the property, but he wouldn't divide the land. That's all according to Tosfos and the Rambam, where it has to come from the children, where they have to be towing something, which tells us that Apotropos works how? As Shlomi said, it works as a zechus, that only if the children have a taina, or if they're old enough, if they want it. But if you assume hefker based in hefker, so then, what's halacha? So look at the Miri. The Miri, I think, fits very nicely, and he'll assume that's Hefker, based in Hefker. Look what the Miri writes in number 10.
Sorry, Zechuya doesn't work on a minor? I thought since it's to their benefit, it works.
No, very good. We saw last time that Zechus does work for a katan, but a katan cannot make a taina. He cannot make a claim. Any claim that he makes in Bezdin, we don't acknowledge it.
The text only spoke about the katan being meicha. He wasn't ba'ul, but rather he was meicha.
Right.
Does that mean that his mechia had a claim, or he just decided he doesn't like what's going on without a claim?
So according to, according to Tosos, it's unclear if he's talking about all ketanim or even gedolim. He doesn't tell us the ages of any of the children. So let's assume now he's like the Rambam. No, with
if you look at the Tosos, the Yomas, Elochi Yomas Luskus, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
At the bottom, at the end of that Tosos, drawing a distinction to our case, Avak Hashem Toi Mishwa Yisoyim Ki Yocha B'chaluk Ad HaKakoyis D'chi Gadli Nami Tzvichim Lachleik. This is clear, they're talking about minors.
This is a very, very good point. Very good point. It's mashma from that Tosa, they're referring to ketanim only.
Also, when he says appointing an apotropos, why would you need an apotropos if the one is being mocha as a gadol?
It's a good point also. Let's see, again, im hayam hechad moche in lamid apotropos. So it's possible a katan could be moche, but he can't be towing. That's what we have to conclude. Although a katan's taina doesn't work, if he claims something, it wouldn't be acknowledged as a taina, but if he protests something, we would acknowledge that as a mechia, and we wouldn't allow the apotropos to go through. Maybe you have to say something like that. I'm not entirely sure. They're good questions. I'm not sure.
This is an odd with the ritual, because what we've said over here, so Ritva was saying that there is some sort of teeth to a katan's taina.
Where's that? That's the first Ritva we saw, right?
Yeah, the last few bold words.
Very good. Very good point. Yeah, I hear that. So you have to figure out how that works exactly. That's the next discussion of Mechia. That's really part of the Gemara afterwards, when they're Moche Beruchos, how that exactly works. But I thought the Gemara says only when they get older does the Mechia work. I'm not sure. It's a good point. I'm not sure. I'm not entirely sure. Do we have to figure that out? But let's look at the Miri now. The Miri says, look at number 10 now, the last page. The Miri writes, the case here is, that reading the bold, Siba v'lav dafka bo lachlok, not only if they come, even though the Gemara says in bo lachlok, when they came forward, they requested a chaluka, it doesn't only mean that case. Why? Sherei ketanim ein lehem litvoas. The ketanim have no right, they have no strength to claim things from other people, from their brothers, other ketanim. V'yaf kishatovim me'alem, even when they are tovea, even when they are claiming something, ein devreim klum, the taina is meaningless. So, rather when Bezdin feels fit for them to come in and intervene, even in that case, or what are their relatives, a cousin, an uncle of some sort who's a gadol, if they think that Bezdin should intervene, then they have the right to intervene. So it sounds like from this, Apachapit isn't working on behalf of the children, as a zechus for them because of their claim, but really they're coming in when Bezdin comes in, or the cousin says someone needs to intervene in the situation and divide the land up. That sounds like it's coming from the approach of Bezdin, which case Hefker based in Hefker would be the mechanism being employed here. But again, if you assume, like the simple reading of the Gemara here, and the Rambam and the Rabbeinu Tam, that in Bo, if they come and they request that there's a division, so then, Apachapas is coming to represent the children, as opposed to coming in from the angle of Bezdin. Okay.
We saw in the notes at one point that there's a difference between a Apachapas that was mana through Bezdin, or an Apachapas that was mana by the father.
Correct.
So it's possible that the father already instructed prior to his death that there should be some sort of Apachapas, even if they're not bow on the overvolition leading an Apachapas. It was prearranged.
Which is fine. So that could be just another example of where apachapas could be applied, even without bow and even without a towing. Fine. So that's again another nafkamina. Let's just review the nafkaminas one more time. We're debating here whether or not apachapas works through zechiyah or works through hefker based in hefker. So one nafkamina we saw was how many apachapas do you need? Do you need one apachapas for everyone, which we said if it's one is really coming to represent bezdin, or does each child require his own apachapas? It's really the chus for each of the children. We saw another nafkamina of whether you need a shumas bezdin. Gemara Tosas on the bottom have 2 days. Does bezdin have to value the land, or they don't have to value the land? That was 2 days in Tosos. It depends on whether it's through Hefker based in Hefker. And then we saw another nafkamina about if they have to come forward and request a chalukah, in which case only then do you divide it. That would be apachapas represents the Yisomim's request. Or no, even if they don't request it, Besin could come intervene because it's a mechanism of Hefker based in Hefker. Let's look at one more nafkamina and then we'll stop here. And this is really based on the Gemara here, the simple reading of the Gemara. If you look in the Gemara inside to where we five, go to six narrow lines up with the two dots. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel. He says, Yisomim shebo lachlok b'nichse aviyem. The Yisomim are coming forward to divide the land of their father, based in mamidin lahem apachapas. Bezdin had appointed apachapas for them. Uborim lahem chelek yafe. And the apachapas chooses a property that they feel works for each child. Vimhigdilu, if they get older, yichol limchos. They're able to be mocha only when they get older. However, Rav Nachman didei amar imhigdilu einam yichol limchos. Rav Nachman argues and says, if they get older, they cannot be mocha. De'im kein ma koech. Koach based in Yafa. Because if they can be mocha when they get older, what good is the power of Bezdin? So there's a machlokas here, whether when they get older, can they be mocha or not? When they were ketanim, they divided the land. And they get older, they start to cry, I didn't like that property, you should give me something else. So according to the first opinion here, according to Shmuel, you're allowed to. You're allowed to say what they did was incorrect. I'd rather a different land. But Rav Nachman himself says you can because of koach Bezdin Yafa. So one way to read this machlokas is they're arguing what's the mechanism of an apachapas? Is apachapas zechia or is apachapas bezdin? So if you assume it's apachapas is medin zechia, so then he could say when he gets older, that wasn't a zechia for me, that wasn't a zechus for me, I wasn't happy. Rav Nachman says no, apachapas works through the mechanics of hefker based in hefker. And you can't just say what they did was incorrect, because makoach yafe, makoach based in yafe, what that really undermines the strength of Bezdin, and therefore whatever Bezdin decide is final forever.
Is there a decision there? That's a question.
This is a suggestion of what the machlokas between Shmuel and Rav Nachman are arguing about.
Right, but is there a decision that says it goes by Rav Nachman and we uphold the power of the court?
Yeah, the halacha ma'isa, the Ein Mishpat quotes there from the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, we paskin that they cannot be mocha. Im higdilu ein yechalm limchos, they cannot protest, because im kein ma koach based in Yafim. Now there is one last thing, I'll just again end with this, is that the Shita of the Ritva, you referred to a different Ritva before, but look at one more Tosas Dira Maschel Ella. Tosas Dira Maschel Ella, he's troubled by the Gemara here in Kedushin versus the Gemara in Gittin. He says, Kasha Damar Beperka Nizakin, Dein Apachapas Rashain Lachov Ulizchos Benichse Yisomim. The Gemara says the Apachapas cannot pick out properties for the children. The Gemara says, Lischos amaylo, Mishani lachob amnas lischos. The Gemara clearly says, even in areas that are very gray, sometimes can be zechia, sometimes can be a chov, even those areas in apachapas cannot intervene. It means that even though right now there might be some level, it might be a detriment current right now, since it will also lead to some level of a benefit for the child, then one would be able, well, according to our Gemara, one would be able to, but according to the Gemara and Gittin, one would not be able to.
It implies chronological, that it's first a chov, then it's a zechus?
I don't think it means
chronological.
I don't think it means chronological. I think it means that sometimes it could be a chov, like a bik and a har could sometimes be good for you and not for me, or vice versa. So sometimes it's not a pure zechus. Depends on
the phrase lachov almanas liskos implies that in the short term it may be a chov, but in the long term it's a zechus.
Yeah, but I don't think it meant to be.
It just means it's a mixture.
Yeah, it's a mixture, exactly.
Or it could go either way.
I'm going to get a detriment. It could be a chol for him, but he'd rather me get this chol for him because it also could lead to a zechus for him as well. He's willing to take that risk involved because it's a zechus. It's a chova. I'm not on the condition he will also get a zechus out of this division. So our Gemara says apachapas is allowed to divide such a land that's gray, that might be zechus, might be a chova. But the Gemara in Gittin says you're not allowed to. If it's not clear, you can't divide up the land. So the Gemara ends up saying, Tosa says it's referring to different cases here. All right, whatever the answer Tosa is. But the Ritva says no, the Gemara in Kedushin versus the Gemara in Gittin are two different cases. The Gemara in Gittin is referring to what you mentioned before, that the apachapas was appointed by the father. And the Gemara in Kedushin is where the apachapas is appointing by the Bezdin. When apachapas is appointed by the Bezdin, he has a greater koach, it's hefker based in hefker, so then you're able to be zocha, even in a situation where it might be some level of chov and zechus. But the Gemara in Gittin, where it's appointed by the father only, the limited power of the apachapas, then he cannot be zocha if it's a gray area. He can only be zocha if it's a pure zechus. So these seem like they're two dinim, they're two types of apachapas. The apachapas appointed by Bezdin, apachapas appointed by Avi Ben. So Ritva might hold that there are two types, which means that there are two mechanisms. Up until now, we've been assuming either you hold it's hefker based in hefker, or you assume it's zechus, and we had all those afkaminas. But according to the Ritva's suggestion, which he himself happens to reject, but the suggestion he quotes from the Rush is that no, there are two types. There's a hefker based in hefker type of apachapas, and then there's a zechia type of apachapas. Okay, we'll stop here. Next week, we're going to go vayitim membeis membeis. We're going to go through some sugyas of onah, overpricing and defrauding. We're going to do that next week. And then I'm going away the following week. I'm debating maybe to move. I'm seeing the crowd for shiurs are really getting smaller here. So maybe we'll change to a lighter topic, unless you guys disagree. Maybe we'll move to the sugyas on daf chav tes and aleph, which are much lighter. But the various mitzvahs haben el av, av haben, might be a little bit easier for the chaver here, pidyon haben and bris milah topics. And I guess, unless you guys want otherwise, that's what I'm thinking about doing. Okay. I don't think the size